doing it. Good morning, everyone. Welcome to Air Venture 2010. We're right in the center of Aeroshell Square next to the Piper Cherokee B, and we are very privileged to have with us today the man who designed the Piper Cherokees back in the early 1960s, Carl Berge. And, Carl, welcome back to Oshkosh. I think it's, what, your fourth time you said you've been here?
It's at least the fourth time. It may be a couple more.
Good for you. Let's talk about this bird. This plane was developed by Piper, by you, because of what reason?
It was developed starting in 1957 when it was clear that the Tri-Pacer was no longer competitive with the Cessna aircraft, and Piper needed a new airplane, all metal, to compete. And, of course, we decided on a low wing.
So competition drove the design of this aircraft?
Absolutely.
And when you first went to the drawing board, was it all of Carl's ideas, or was it the Piper family that was coming up with the ideas? Tell me, take me through that process.
The answer is yes.
Okay. So
what happened was Pug Piper, who was primarily responsible for engineering and design, although he himself was not an engineer, and the family had lived down, had a place in Florida. They decided they wanted to expand from Lock Haven and took over some land down in Vero Beach, Florida, on what had been a naval air station and was still a stopping point for Eastern Airlines. In January of 1957, they asked John Thorpe, who designed some of the Thorpe airplanes, to do a preliminary design on a four-place low-wing airplane. It sat for some time. It's a long story as how I got there. I had been with North American Aviation in California, but I got there on September the 15th, 1957, and had a couple things. John had just done a few things on it, a little bit of a three-view and a little bit of a weight and balance. Our offices were in a loft above the Eastern Airlines terminal. We didn't have much space, but the development center was being built as we were waiting there across the runway from that. As a consequence, we couldn't take on many people. We had no place for them. So I had a free almost 5 months to go ahead and design the airplane or design the basic configuration, do the weight and balance, do the aerodynamic loads, the basic structure, and all of that sort of thing. We started hiring people in February of 1958. And that was it.
When you started design, you talked about the low wing. The Cessna has the wing above the cabin. Was the Piper family, were they adamant about having the wing down here below the cockpit, or was that your idea, or how did that come about?
That was in the original planning.
And whose idea was that?
Well, I can't say exactly. By that time, of course, Piper had been transitioning to low wings. The Apache, the twin-engine Apache, or Twin Stinson, as it was one time called, was being built up in Lock Haven. And the Comanche was, in fact, just about ready for production. So Piper was committed to low wings by that time.
Is it fair to say the Piper people had the thinking up here, but you had to put it into the drawings, kind of like Charles Schultz drew peanuts and so on?
Exactly.
How long did it take you to come up with this design? Was this one of those? You said you worked on it for several months. From start to finish, are we talking months or are we talking years?
We're talking years.
About how many?
We got the certification in October, the end of October, 1st of November, 1959. So it was actually about 2 years.
Now, the fact that she's been popping around the sky for, well, let's see, I'm doing my math, 50 years now.
That's right.
When you see one of these birds flying around or sitting right here like where we're standing next to, do you have a sense of pride? Do you have a sense of ownership? Do you have a sense of being a parent? Or all of those? I don't know.
Every one of those. And when I see something that's been kept up as this one has, it's just amazing. When you think this is probably, 47 years old.
So this is a 1963 version, then?
That's what I understand. I'm not sure of that.
Okay.
1962, okay, good.
Okay, you're the ones that brought her in for us? You're from Waupaca, right?
Actually, Minnesota.
Are you Viking fans?
No.
Good. Okay, then you can be here. All right. Well, I just got to verify that. Cheeseheads, that's good. All right. All right. Carl, talk about what was the Piper family adamant about becoming so competitive with Cessna that this plane was an either make or break for the company?
It wasn't a make or break, but at the time, Piper was in pretty poor condition. So to the extent of the single engine product, yeah, it was a make or break for them because the Tri-Pacer was no longer competitive.
How many of these birds have been made over the years? Do you have an idea?
Well, it depends
Ballpark.
On how you count them.
Ballpark.
If you count all of the derivatives and so on, we're looking at around 42,000, 45,000.
It's a lot of planes.
Yeah.
And you get a little commission out of each one, Carl?
Don't I wish.
Don't you wish. Piper family, now, to bring you up to speed, Carl, you are now, are you still teaching at Oklahoma University?
No, I retired from teaching at Oklahoma University about 10 years ago.
But you're still a busy man, right?
Well, I have a company that builds wind turbines.
Yeah, we could have had them up here this spring. You'd have made a lot of money.
That's right.
So can you take a correlation? Is there a correlation between designing an aircraft and designing the wind turbine for energy?
There is a strong correlation because it's largely aerodynamics. And that's one of the things that I do.
Okay, let's go back up and let's wait for the planes to go by. Talk about this plane again, the Cherokee. Is there one thing on this aircraft at all, Carl, that you point out with extra special pride other than the unit as a whole, or is there one thing that you say, that's got my signature from front to back?
Well, a good bit of it from front to back. I guess if I had to pick one feature, it would be the wing and fuselage attachment. It was somewhat unique. But to fit with the basic approach we had to the design, it's what we really had to do. We had a little problem with the FAA. They hadn't seen a joint like that before, or at least not something that they were familiar with. They insisted that we had to do a fatigue test on it. So we started out trying to find out what would be a reasonable approach. The FAA and ourselves agreed that 70,000 cycles of a given load would be satisfactory. We went ahead and ran the 70,000. Then we were still going fine, so we did another 70,000. Then we increased the load and another 70,000. We finally ended up doing 430,000 tests. You know why we stopped?
Why?
The jig broke.
Really? Where there was a... Dare I ask, was the FAA satisfied, or...
The FAA was satisfied when we finished 70. We went on just to see what would happen. And it never failed, never gave any problem whatsoever.
Did you hear from the people over at Cessna about this aircraft? Were they complimentary? Did you feel you put their foot in the fire, or what?
Well, by that time, I knew some of the principal designers and engineers at both Cessna and Beech. I can tell you one thing. Two of the very first Cherokees were bought by Beech Aircraft. They took one of them apart and laid it out on the factory floor, and the other they put into flight testing.
You're kidding me.
No, that's what they did.
What did Piper think about that? Was in this age of lawsuits today, was there anything done back then?
No, nothing at all. You mean in the way of patents? And
yeah.
Things? We decided early on that having patents, some of which I suspect we could have gotten, was really only sort of an excuse to litigate. and that if we couldn't stay ahead of them technically, then we didn't deserve.
Well, thinking has changed today.
Yeah.
Okay. Anybody in the audience got a question for Carl that they would like to ask? I'm more than willing to just raise your hand and I'll come out to you. Yes, you got a question. Hang on. Stay there, Carl.
Yep.
Did Cherokee sales improve with the Goldfinger movie?
Listen.
James Bond, you got it.
When that came out, in Vero Beach, we rented the theater. There were three theaters in town. We rented one of the theaters, and everybody got in to see Goldfinger from the development center and from the factory. Yeah.
Was there anything done to that plane, by the way, Carl, that was modified for anything for Hollywood purposes, or was that
thing? In fact, they got stock ones out, and you'll notice if you ever look at Goldfinger again that almost each aircraft has a different paint scheme and different obvious ownership.
Yeah, and I think his question was, what did it do to sales? Are you aware of anything? Is that fair? Is that what you want?
I wish I could tell you. We did very well in sales for the first. We got up at one time to 30 airplanes a week in the Vero Beach plant.
That's a lot. That's a lot. Anybody else got a question? Just raise your hand. I'll come out to you. No? Okay. Carl, anything you want to add about this thing? I mean,
Do
you own one, by the way?
What?
Do you own one of these birds?
No, I owned an Arrow.
Arrow Commander?
Which is a retractable gear version.
Okay.
Yeah.
All right.
But this is an absolutely glorious airplane, I must tell you. Someone has really taken loving care of it.
Okay. Let me get the owner to come up here a second. We had, with Carl coming in, we had to make some Jane Smith from up at EAA headquarters. Terry, you're the one who,
Terry Hawking.
Terry, give him the microphone.
Hi, Carl. Glad to meet you. Yes, sir.
All right. Terry, how old is this bird? How long have you owned it and so on?
1962.
And when did you buy it?
We bought it in 1989.
And what condition was it in, and how hard has it been to maintain?
You wouldn't have recognized it. The airplane was owned by a wheelchair pilot, and he used to put his butt out up on there, put his wheelchair in. The wings were all scratched up. He had touched them up with rattle cans. The side was scratched up. The interior was just junk. And he had it fitted with hand controls. And it worked out great for him. He actually flew the airplane up to Oshkosh, and then he went through a divorce and had to sell the airplane, so I bought the airplane, and we started restoring it. First thing we did was the engine. I figured I got to do the engine. And then we started working our way back. And, it's been work in progress.
Now, we're making this an advertisement for Piper. What did you own before you got this one, Terry?
One of those with the wings on the wrong side.
That would have been that Cessna-type bird?
And an Aranca 11AC.
Okay. And how do you compare this one to those?
The reason I got it, it was recommended to me because I wanted to get my instrument rating. And the early Cherokee, see, the reason I sold my other airplane was I had a 150, and I got fat. And so I needed something that would carry the load. And so I bought this, and then I wanted to get my instrument rating, and it was told to me, get a 160. You're going to love the baggage door. You're going to love the extra useful load, and it's a great instrument platform. So I bought it. I never thought I'd own it this long, Carl. It's been a wonderful, wonderful airplane.
Have you ever met Carl before?
No, I have not. This is the first time I've met this gentleman. The closest I've come to any of them is there's a video out with an interview with Fred Wieck, and Fred Wieck, just before he died. And it was a great interview. You know, he talked about the air coupe a little bit, talked about fitting hand controls for this airplane, a little bit about it. But that is the closest I've come to any of this, Carl.
Okay, Terry, thank you very much for bringing the bird in and bringing it over here so we could talk to Carl about this.
Oh, no, thank you. Thanks,
really
EAA. EAA has been absolutely wonderful to work with this. We didn't get our mass arrival off this year because of the weather, but we'll be back next year.
I appreciate it. Thank you, Terry.
Thank you, sir.
And I'm glad you're a Packer fan. You can
Carl,
stay.
Thanks. Terry, I want to congratulate you on an absolutely beautiful reconstruction.
Thank you, sir.
You've kept it up since.
Thank you, sir.
Anybody else got a question for Carl? Yes, please. Hang on. You look like you might be a friend of Terry's.
I have a high wing airplane too, a tri-pacer, and I noticed some features. I'd like to know a little bit more about some of the features that got transferred. That little air vent on this side looks very, very familiar. The overhead crank looks very, very familiar. One of the things that they transfer from the tri-pacer to the 140.
You've named two of them. The third one was we had contracted out the design for the nose gear. When it came time, or getting close to the time for the first flight, the nose gear wasn't ready. So I stayed up all one night, two nights in fact, and designed a whole new engine mount and nose gear using the Tri-Pacer nose gear. So that is a Tri-Pacer nose gear.
All right. Anybody else got a question for Carl? Okay, Carl, again, thank you so much for coming to Oshkosh. It is a pleasure to meet you, privilege to meet you, really. And you're not a young man anymore, but you keep going, don't you?
I do.
I ask how old you are, Carl?
87.
I wish I could look this good at 87. Thanks, Carl. Appreciate you. I hope you have a great stay here in Oshkosh. It's such a wonderful joy, and thank you, folks, for joining us this morning.